We were looking at that verse in God's precious word the other evening. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, after this, the judgment. And whenever you turn to the book of Job in the chapter 14, it says, man which is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And then it says this, but man dieth and wasteth away, yea, man giveth up the ghost. And then listen to the next words, for it's a question, where is he? Now last night we were looking in the, as we opened the word of God, and I was preaching about the prison house of the damned, the place where the ungodly go at the end of a life of sin, friend. The word of God calls it hell. And dear unsaved person, I want you to know this. That's exactly where you're headed tonight without Jesus Christ. And I pray in God's name that he will stop you in love and mercy and in grace and bring you to saving faith in his Son, who is the way, the truth, and the life. But remember, if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are going to that place which God's word calls hell. But I want to speak this evening upon something else. Because the question is, where is he? The ungodly are in hell, but where are those who are saved? Where are those of our loved ones tonight that know the Lord Jesus Christ, that were saved by the grace of God, and the Lord has taken them from us? Where are they tonight? Where is he? Where is she? I want to speak to you tonight about heaven, the palace of the redeemed, or heaven, my home, and how to get there. Friend, I want to speak to you tonight upon the subject, heaven, my home, and how to get there. I wonder if you ever asked someone, maybe you've met them for the first time, and you say to them, well, where do you live? And friend, they tell you where they live, and then you would ask them the question, well, how would you get there? How would you get there? Remember a person, an old country man one time, and this old country boy was, a person stopped in the car and they said to him, could you tell me the direction to, and give the duress and give the person's name? He says, I know them powerful well, he says. Now I'll tell you what you do. You just start your car up again and you go down that road about 2 miles and you'll see a bungalow on the left. Now that's not it. You go on past that bungalow on the left, and then you take the second road on the right. And when you take the second road on the right, you'll go down there maybe about a mile, and you'll see a big two-story house there sitting at the side of the road. Now, that's not it either. You go on past it. And the person was after this for a little while. The person says, excuse me, sir, could you just tell me which one it is and tell me which one it's not? Because I'm absolutely confused. My friend, I want to tell you this. Heaven, my home, and how to get there. This is so important. I want to talk to you tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because let me tell you, friends, the Savior invites you to come to heaven. He does not want you to go to hell. That is why God loved you so much that he sent his Son to the cross of Calvary, that you would not perish, but that you could have everlasting life. God sent not his Son into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God desires you, God wants you to be saved, and you can be saved if you come by simple faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want you to remember this, life at best is very brief. There's not one of us in this meeting tonight who are here forever. And there's not one of us are here for long. I have a cousin, and she's in a nursing home. She just went in there at the end of last year. She's 100 years of age. And friend, as I sit with that cousin, she starts reminiscing over the past. And she says, you know, William, life has gone so quickly. You know what the Bible says? That your life is just as a vapor. It appears for a little time, and then it vanishes away, and then it's gone. And friend, let me tell you in this meeting tonight, your life is just like that vapor. And I don't know how long you have to stay. I don't know how long God will let you stay in this world. But I want to tell you, friend, you're leaving. I can guarantee you this. You're leaving, for you're not here forever. And friend, let me tell you, it does not matter how big the house is you're leaving behind. It's where you're going that's what counts. Because the world, the house that you're living in now, will one day know you no more forever. Don't forget that. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through, and everybody will live somewhere in God's eternity. And it'll either be one of two places. Make no mistake about it. There's no third place. There is heaven for the saved, and there's hell for the lost. And friend, you're in one of those two categories tonight, and you're headed to one of those two places right now. Now, I'd ask you this question. Tell me, which one is it? Which one is it? Be honest with your soul today. You owe it to your soul, friend, not to delude yourself, not to lie to yourself, not to deceive yourself. You owe it to your soul to be honest. To answer this question, if God was to take the breath from your body right now in that seat, friend, where would you be? Heaven or hell? It's one of those two places. And you're going where you're ready for. And if you're not saved, you're ready for hell. And if you're saved, thank God you're ready for heaven. And I'm going to talk about my place, for this is what I'm ready for. And friend, it's nothing because of me. There's no merit in me. I'm not getting to heaven, you know, friends, to say, well, you know, God, I made it. Or I was better than somebody else. No, friends, let me tell you, I was just a dirty, rotten, stinking sinner, just the same as every other man. But thank God, God loved me, and one day God saved me. He brought me to himself. He redeemed me with the precious blood. There was a Presbyterian minister in Fort Lauderdale in the United States of America. He was Dr. James Kennedy. He was pastor at the Coleridge Presbyterian Church. And several ministers were invited to the White House whenever Ronald Reagan was the president. He brought them to that place, and after a conversation going on for some time, Dr. Kennedy looked into the face of the president and he said this, Mr. President, can I ask you a question? If you were to die tonight and you found yourself standing at the door of heaven, if God were to say to you, Mr. President, why should I let you into heaven? Mr. President, what would you answer? Ronald Reagan said this to Dr. Kennedy in the White House before God took him home. He said this, well, I guess I'd have to answer John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Dr. Kennedy said, Mr. President, that's a good answer, because your only hope of heaven is through Christ. Then I can tell you this. You can rely on whatever you like to get you through the pearly gates, and you'll go to hell with it. But thank God there's never a man, woman, boy, girl that has ever put their faith and their trust and their reliance in Christ that has ever been damned. Thank God they've been saved. And you can be saved. For thank God the Bible says he is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Christ. And friend, you can be saved. Listen, the only one exclude you from God's salvation is yourself. And if you want to exclude yourself, friend, let me tell you this. Then you take the result of your sin. Then you take the end of the journey. But I'm not going with you. I'm saying this before God. I'm going to heaven. That's where I'm going. But I want you to come too. I want you to come, friend. I want you to be saved. Thank God we can say my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Or the wee fellow says, on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other rocks are shamrocks. And so they are, friend. They're only a sham. I'm talking about your soul, friend. I'm talking about when you leave this scene of time and God calls you out into God's eternity. Tell me, where are you going to? Some years ago, there was an evangelist. He was holding a crusade in western Pennsylvania. He took his family by a cemetery, and then he took them past this farm on the right-hand side of the road. It was owned by a very notorious person in that area, a very rich man. His name was Hugh Barnes. And he took his family there. He took them to Hugh Barnes's house, and there was the old ranch house was there. And then Hugh thought it wasn't big enough. He built this big, spacious, massive building. And my friend, let me tell you, it cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. You know, whenever he was talking to some of the folks, whenever he was talking about building the place, and he was nearly finished. He talked about what it cost, to do the building, and what it cost to put the carpets in, and what it cost to put the paper in the walls and all the rest of it. And he boasted. And then one day he went into the city, and he was standing in the city hall, friend, 2 days after he was in the spacious house, and he dropped dead at the city hall. 2 days. That's all he got. 2 days in the spacious place which he boasted about, the mansion that he had prepared. And the tragedy was this, friend. He had nowhere, no mansion to go to. He wasn't ready for God's eternity. And friend, let me tell you, God said to the rich man in the scriptures, God says, you're only a fool. Thou fool. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Let me tell you, my friend, God could say that to you tonight. And you say, my, that man was a fool. Then what are you, friend? Because you're going too. You're leaving this old world. Are you ready? Can you honestly say, yes, thank God I'm prepared. I thank God I know that I'm going to heaven. Heaven is my home. And thank God hell will never know me because of Jesus Christ. I'm resting my soul upon the finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary. You know, the Lord Jesus gathered his disciples one day in the upper room. And as the Savior gathered them, John's Gospel, chapter 14, you read about it there. And as the Lord gathered with his disciples and they had their supper together, it was the last supper that they had. And then the Lord instituted what we know as the Lord's table or the Lord's supper. Yes, they had their feast together, but then they had the Lord's supper. Now let me tell you, there was a difference between the number of people that were at one and at the other. Because let me tell you, when the Lord Jesus Christ sat there and had a feast, the feast of the Passover with his disciples, there was one sitting there, and it was Judas Iscariot. And Jesus said to Judas Iscariot, what thou doest, do quickly. He said, one of you will betray me. And Judas Iscariot knew in his heart that he had got a deal for to sell Christ for 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord Jesus looked into his eyes and he said, Judas, whatever you're doing, do it quickly. And the Bible says Judas Iscariot went out into that night, friend. And I'll tell you this, that night was not the darkest night. For that, through that, he went to hell itself. And it's this very night as we're sitting in this place, Judas Iscariot's in that darkness of a Christless eternity forever and forever and forever. The Lord Jesus knew that his disciples were troubled. And the Lord said to them, let not your heart be troubled. And then he started to talk to them. You know what he told them? He said to, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, he said, I will come again. And I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, he said, there ye may be also. He says, I'm going to take you home. I'm going to take you to be with myself. You know, thank God the Lord knew what those disciples were going through. I said there was a difference in the number that were there at the Last Supper and then whenever it came to that communion feast when the Lord instituted the Lord's Supper. And I'll tell you the difference is this. Judas Iscariot was not at the Lord's Supper. Judas Iscariot was not there. Judas Iscariot had gone from that place and he had gone to sell the Lord Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Do you know why? Because the Lord's Supper is for the Lord's people. It's only those that are saved. And maybe there's someone here tonight, I'm just going to warn you about this. Maybe there's someone here tonight and you've sat at the communion feast in your church because you're told that that's what you ought to do, because as a member, you sit at the Lord's table. If you are not saved, I'm saying this in God's name, stay away from it. If you are not saved, because let me tell you what the Bible says in the scriptures, it tells me in Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it says this: he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation or judgment to himself. You're bringing judgment upon your head. The elements of the bread and the wine, friend, are not for the unsaved. It's for the family of God. Judas Iscariot was gone before the Lord instituted the Last Supper, before he instituted the feast, the communion feast, in remembrance. This do in remembrance of me. And the sad reality is there's men and women, let me tell you, and they leave a pub on a Saturday night and they come to Sunday morning and they sit at the Lord's table and they take their bread and they take their wine, and God's saying, you're eating and drinking damnation to yourself. But you were told it's all right. Well, I'm telling you it's not. I'm telling you clear, friend, it's not. And I don't care who invites you to come. In God's name, stay away. It's not for the ungodly. It's not for the unsaved. It's for the family of God. It's for the family of God. And the Lord Jesus looked into his people's heart and knew their heart was breaking. And he told them, he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. You say, preacher, what kind of a place is it? I want you to notice that. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And you know, there's an awful lot of people say, you know, but heaven's not a real place. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is. It's as real as Belfast is. It's as real as New York is. It's as real as London is. It's the place that the Lord has prepared. And thank God that he has prepared it for the redeemed of the Lord, for those who are his people. And God has a place for us. In my Father's house are many mansions. I love that, you know. You know, there's some boys in my Father's house are many rooms. And all these modern translations that have this. And you know, remember they used to sing a song, Lord, build me a cabin in the corner of glory. And God forgive them. The Lord Jesus didn't go away 2,000 years to put cabins in the corner of glory land. Let me tell you, in my Father's house are many mansions. There's never been a place like it. The place that God has prepared for his people. Let me tell you, my friend, when you look at God's creation in this world, you stand and you look at the mountains. You stand and you look at the rivers. You stand and you look at the flowers. You look at all of God's creation. And then you stand and you lift a little baby in your hand. And God said, listen, that God breathed into man and became a living soul. And the Bible says we're fearfully and we're wonderfully made. By the power of God's creation. And people say that it took the Lord Jesus Christ to go away 2,000 years to build cabins in a corner in heaven. Thank God I've got a mansion. The Lord Jesus Christ has promised that there is nothing will ever mar it and nothing will ever spoil it. Because the Bible says, not that defileth shall ever enter in. Friend, I'll tell you something, there's nothing lacking in it. Have you ever built a house? And you know, friend, whenever you had all the plans done, you see, if you're doing it again, you wouldn't have built it that way. You know, I was talking to some builders when I was out in Singapore. And this man has built houses, let me tell you, he's a multimillionaire. He's been building houses in China, he's been building houses in Singapore, he's been building houses in America, and all of these places. I said to him, I want to ask you this here, all your fancy ideas about building houses. Tell me this. I have never understood this in all of my life. That in all the houses that man designs and all the architects design, they've never designed a house in a proper way to remember a coffin has got to get into it and a coffin is getting it out. As a preacher, I've seen them shoving up the stairs
and then trying to, and they shove the boy up on his end, and he's standing there, and not that he'll worry about it, but nevertheless, friend, because the house is not built for it. And yet it's the most certain thing, because let me tell you, not only would you and I be carried out, when you and I's gone, somebody else will be carried out to the same house as well. And yet in all of our architects and all of our bright ideas, we've never planned for something that's real and something that's certain, that one day will be carried out of that house, and it needs to be a house that's built recognizing reality. But thank God, friend, there's no flaws in God's house, and there's no faults in God's building. I remember as a child after I got saved, remember my mother and I came down the road from a little prayer meeting that was up in Kirklassen Mission Hall, and we're walking down home. It was a beautiful evening, friend. The lambs were in the field. I remember she and I went in to count the lambs in the field, and we sat down there. And friend, to be honest, before God, I looked up into the heavens that night and never forget the most beautiful sunset. I never saw the beauty of it before. And I remember I was only a child of just maybe 9 years of age. And I remember saying to my mommy, I said, "Mommy, if heaven's more beautiful than that, how beautiful heaven must be." You never seen a picture painted like it, friend, in God's heavens. And yet, my friend, you know what God says? Those are going to pass away someday. Heaven and earth will pass away. And there'll be a new heaven and there'll be a new earth. For the former things have passed away. Behold, I make all things new. There's nothing lacking there. Thank God is built for permanence. But thank God is never going to fade. All the buildings of the world, friend. Look at Athens. And they talk about the buildings there in Athens and about the historic value. And sure, the old buildings are that's only rubble. They're only rubble. Now, there was a time there were beautiful buildings there, but they've decayed. What has happened? Time. Now, you and I know what time does. All I've got to do is look in the mirror. And I certainly know what time does. A boy said to me one time, "Mr. McRae, you have an awful lot going for you." I says, "Is that right?" He says, "Your teeth's going, your hair's going, your eyes are going. You have an awful lot going for you." He would be the kind of boy that you'd need to encourage you, wouldn't he? He'd be the kind of boy, "Well, someone, your hair's just as wee but worse than mine." But, you know, let me tell you this, friend. Thank God in God's heaven, it's a continue. You know what Abram said? He looked for a city that hath foundation, whose builder and maker was what? Was God. Was God. And all of the buildings of Athens and Babylon and Nineveh and Corinth and all the rest of the cities of splendor, let me tell you, one day they're going to crumble and they're going to decay. But thank God, God's heaven will never decay. Thank God, the passing of the years will make no difference, because God's city stands permanent. There are no ruins or wastelands on the landscapes of glory, friend. Thank God is a place. And Jesus said 2,000 years ago, he says, "I go to prepare a place for you." Let me tell you, if the Lord Jesus prepared such a beautiful place in this world, friend, in the space of 6 days, how beautiful heaven must be. The Bible talks about the streets of gold, speaks about the walls of jasper, speaks about the pearly hung gates. And that's for sinners like me, saved by the grace of God. Imagine God preparing the likes of that for me, friend. Doesn't he really love me? Ah, but let me tell you, friend, it's not the pearly hung gates, it's not the walls of jasper, it's not the streets of gold that'll make it heaven. It's Jesus. A tent or a cottage, why should I care? They're building a palace for me over there. Though exiled from here or from home, yet still I may sing, "Oh, glory to God, I'm a child of the King." Oh, it's good to be saved tonight. It's good to know that your sins are forgiven. It's good to know, friend, let me tell you, in a moment of time, if God was to take you, thank God you're going home. You're not going down. I'm not looking for the undertaker. Now, I may, someday he may get me. But let me tell you, friend, I'm looking for the uptaker, for the Lord Jesus Christ is going to take me home. And heaven is that way, friend. Hell's down. Shall be cast down into hell. The disciples were standing there in the Mount of Olives, and the angel said this, "Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The Lord Jesus went up into heaven." This same Jesus, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go. Thank God, one day I'm going up to heaven. I was singing that wee hymn today. I want to see my Savior, first of all. In heaven there are many things I'm longing for to see. But I want to see my Savior, first of all. The one who made it possible for me to be saved. I remember George McKnight's my father-in-law. Some of you older men will remember George McKnight. He was the clerk of session in our Money Slane church. I remember the day that Anne and I came home from Canada and George was dying. Went to Bambridge Hospital, stood at George's bed. I remember as we were standing there and he was lying there in the stillness and quietness of unconsciousness, and I lifted up his Bible. I went to the back sheet of the Bible, I was searching through it, and then I went to the back sheet, and he had written things on the back sheet of the Bible. He had got on the white sheet there, he used to lead the singing before the service, and he put down the old hymns, you know, for quick reference. Would you be free from your burden of sin? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, what a friend we have in Jesus. All the lovely old hymns that have blessed the Church of Jesus Christ down the years. But I noticed he had one circled. And I looked at it carefully, and it was the hymn in the hymn book, "Face to Face with Christ My Savior." Face to face, what will it be? And he had got it circled around, and then he had written a little mark over to the side, and this is what he said. "Face to face with Christ my Savior, that is where my darling Edith is today." For Edith had gone home before him. She was face to face with Jesus. Then I asked you this question. If you were taken from this scene of time, could your wife say that about you? "That's where my darling husband is today." Does she know that you're saved? Husband, what about your wife? Wife, be honest before God. If you were to close your eyes in death and be in a moment taken from the seat of time, can your husband say this with certainty? "That's where my darling is today, in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, at home. Heaven, face to face with Christ my Savior." But you say, "William, quickly tell me, what's heaven like?" Now the interesting thing about this book is this, friend. The Lord Jesus Christ, 13 times very vividly, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke clearly about hell and the awfulness and the tragedy of hell. But one time, he spoke about the glories of heaven. And a person asked me a question, "Why do you think that's so, preacher? Why do you think that he spoke more about hell than he did about heaven?" Let me tell you, friend. I believe before God that if the Lord had given me a full picture of what heaven, the beauty of heaven is, I wouldn't want to stay here another second. I would say, "Lord, take me home. Get me out of here." And so therefore, only faintly now I see him. For there's a darkening veil between. But a blessed day is coming when his glory and the glory of heaven shall be seen. But the interesting thing is this, in the book of Revelation that we read tonight, God give us the things that are not in heaven. And I want to mention, first of all, it says in Revelation 21, there is no more sea. Now, what does that speak about? Well, let me tell you, my friend, if you want to go to any part in the world outside of this island, there's something that separates us from the rest of the world. What is it? It's the sea. And if I want to get to London, I've got to cross the sea. If I want to get to New York, I've got to cross the sea. If I want to get to Singapore, I've got to cross the sea. If I want to get to Australia, I've got to cross the sea. So therefore the Bible says there shall be no more sea. What does the sea speak to me about? It speaks to me of separation. It separates me. The sea separates me from the rest of the world. And friend, let me tell you, the Bible says there shall be no more sea. For thank God in heaven, there's no separation there. We'll never say goodbye in heaven. We'll never say goodbye. In 50 years now, as a preacher of the gospel, friend, I've stood with families. I've stood with little children. I've stood with parents at the side of their children. I've stood with loved ones there. And they said goodbye to their loved ones for a last time on earth, friend. And their hearts have broken. And they realize that they would long for the touch of the vanished hand and to hear the voice that is forever still. But friend, there's a separation now. And there's some of you who have loved ones in the glory whose dear forms we often miss. I have a mother there. I have a brother there. I have a father there. And I miss them. And they're separated from me. But thank God there's no separation in heaven. We'll meet one day. Do you know where? In the Father's house. That's what Jesus says. In my Father's house. Tell me, what's that? Where's the Father's house, friend? Home. Remember after I got married and I went to live in Macrofelt, and then I would say to my wife, I'd say, Anne, I'm going up home. And she'd look at me and she says, but she are home. Well, I said, I'm going up to Mummy and Daddy's. And then when I got to my mother for a while and we sat there and we had a feast together, because you had always got to eat or you didn't get out. And you sat there and you sat down and had a feast together. And then I says, Mummy, I must go down home. Friend, to be honest, this world is not our home. Don't care how fancy a building you've got, friend. Remember Dr. Paisley one time with me and Nelly, we went to this house, and it was one of the biggest houses I've ever been in my life. And there were three sitting rooms. And there was gold tops here, there, and yonder. The curtains, I think, cost 78,000. I don't know what the carpets cost. And this person was showing us through this place. Never forget it. And he's showing. And this now, it wasn't the man of the house, to be honest. But the boy who was showing us it was a wee bit windy. You know, bit of a blow. And he was telling about, and he said, Dr. Paisley says, not powerful. This is the third sitting room. Isn't it someplace? Never forget what Dr. Paisley says. Sir, you can only sit in one room at one time. And it's true, friend. It's true. We get carried away with these things, don't we? And yet we're only here for a while. All right. Just a wee while. No continuing city here. No. No continuing house here. And then the day of separation will come. But thank God in heaven there's no separation. No parting word shall ever be spoken in that bright land so fair. But songs of joy and peace and gladness will sing forever there. Then it says this, there shall be no more death. No more death in heaven. Thank God the undertaker and the grave digger's spade will never dig the landscapes of glory. There'll be no need for the undertaker. There'll be no need for the hearse. There'll be no need for the coffin. There'll be no need for the shroud. You know why? Because there's no death. No more death. And you know, death's staring every one of us in the face tonight. For the word of God says we all must needs die. It's certain. But thank God there's coming a day, friend, and death will never enter heaven. There's a promise of death. There's a problem of death. We don't know when. There's a preparation for death. Prepare to meet thy God. There is no more death in heaven. And then it says this. There's no more sorrow there. No more sorrow. You know, sometimes our plans are dashed. We have all these plans laid up, and then it just seems to be that all the hopes and plans are gone. Maybe sorrow because of a child gone wrong. Many a mother and many a father has had a broken heart. Oh, the hopes and dreams they had for their children. And they went like the prodigal into the far country and wandered off in sin. And their hearts are broken. But there's no sorrow in heaven. And then it says there shall be no tears in heaven. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. I always think of a wee family down in Cork, County Tyrone. The young father of that home, he's a great family man. He loved his son, he had a wee boy. Never a day to school, he would take him to school. He would collect him from school. Father doted on that child. One night the man went out with his gun. An innocent thing he went out for some innocent sport. But sad to say, there were those that believed it was for another purpose, and that night the father was shot. And you know, I remember that day whenever walking down the Coke Street, a little boy there whose father would never lift him again at school, a father would never hug him again. Remember them walking down the street, and remember grandfather standing, walking with that little child, and they say, wee child saw those people, wee child said these words, Granda, why is everybody crying? And he didn't know they were crying for him. But that wee boy was crying, looking for his father, who'd never come home again. How many tears, time friend, have we taken the hanky and we've wiped the tears from our eyes? But the tears are come back again. But thank God it says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Do you know why there'll be no tears in heaven, friend? Because there's nothing to cry about. The former things are passed away. Then it says there shall be no more pain. Let me tell you, friend, I'm sure there are people here in this meeting tonight, and you know what I'm talking about, how the pain wrecks the body. I remember a wee man in the Midulster Hospital. I walked in to see him this night, and friend, he had hardly could get a breath. His lungs were gone. They were wasted away. And I can still see him as he put his hand up to the top of the bed, and he heaved to try and speak, and he said, pray that God will take me. The pain. Thank God, friend, there's coming a day whenever there shall be no more pain. Then Revelation 22 says there shall be no more curse. Do you know what the curse speaks of? Sin. The curse of sin. And every one of us have been blighted. Every one of us have known what it is to be blighted with a stain and the curse of sin. And then it says finally the seventh, there's no night there. Night will never fall. You know, when night comes, it's amazing. Fear comes. I always think whenever it was a cub at home, and whenever the night came, you know, you were afraid of the boogeyman. And maybe you were sent out to get a bucket of coal, and let me tell you this, that was to keep you warm inside, but you nearly would have gladly frozen inside because you didn't want to go out. You were that afraid. But thank God, there's no night there. Adam said whenever he sinned, and God says, Adam, where are you? He said, I was afraid. I was afraid. And friend, I say this as we come to a close. You see, all those things are not in heaven. Every last one of them in hell. There's eternal separation from God Almighty. Separation from your loved ones. Because let me tell you, my friend, I know my loved ones in heaven, but you'll not know your loved ones in hell. It's the blackness of darkness forever. Word of God says, they shall be cast into outer darkness. Do you remember what it said about the darkness in Egypt? It was a darkness that could be felt. Oh, the separation from God and everything lovely forever. There's death, eternal death, because the Bible says that hell is the second death. We read it in Revelation chapter 21. This is the second death. Death's the great divider. And friend, let me tell you, oh, the division of families. A mother in heaven with Christ. And daddy, you're in hell without him. You vowed as you stood at the altar, you'll be there together till death did you part. And friend, you were never apart in life, but when you come to die and go out into God's eternity, you're separated forever, never to be reunited again. Ah, yes, there's sorrow in hell. Oh, the regret, if only I'd come. If only I'd listened. If only I'd run to Christ in that mission. And received the Son of God and was saved. But it's too late. An eternal regret. Crying. The rich man, we noticed last night, he cried. Have mercy on me. Eternal crying. Where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched, there shall be weeping, there shall be wailing, and the gnashing of teeth. Pain. You ever put your finger, friend? Have you ever put your finger in a flame? Could burn. And the pain. That's nothing to the pain of hell. And there's no end. Curse. You're in hell, friend, because the curse of sin has damned your soul forever. bottomless pit. Night. The sun will never rise on another day. It's the blackness of darkness forever. You say to me, William, how do I get to heaven? John 14:6, and with this I close. Jesus said, not me. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Friend, let me tell you, it's not the church you need. It's not the sacrament you need. It's not the ordinances of the church you need. It's not rituals you need. It's not religion you need. It's Jesus Christ you need. You need to come as a sinner to Jesus. And thank God, him that cometh to me, Jesus said, I will in no wise cast you out. William, what's the way to heaven? You can get to heaven without riches. You can get to heaven without fortune. You can get to heaven without fame. But remember these words. You will never, ever get to heaven without Jesus. Get that into your heart, friend. Everything else can go. Everyone else can disappear. But you miss Jesus. You miss calling on the Lord to save you. Then you'll never be in heaven. And the choice is yours. What do you do with Jesus tonight? He's the only Savior. You come to him. Will you trust him as your Savior?